attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, which comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, rightly divided here with power, authority, and conviction by Bishop Eddie Addy from the Macarius Church headquarters. This anointed teaching will challenge you, strengthen you, and equip you for a truly victorious life in the Lord. Be transformed as you listen.
Give attention to my words.
Father, thanks a million for the great privilege of hearing these words of life. We ask you to please have mercy on us. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Clap your hands. God bless you. Welcome all our listeners on Sweet Melodies, 94.3 FM and Dofopa FM and Facebook and YouTube. You're all welcome. And we want to encourage you, if you don't have any place of worship, this is your church, located right at the East Legon Hills. Yes, when you are here, you can see the top of buildings around East Legon. Yes. Especially if you're on a story building. Yeah. So, we are blessed to be here. And last week, I gave you an announcement and one of the secrets to enlargement. The announcement was that it is your season of enlargement. Yes. If you believe it, I know that if you believe it, your clapping is louder than your neighbor's clapping. It's your season! It's time to shine again. Hallelujah. Get excited about God's word, because that is what is bringing you to your next level. Life is made up of seasons, and you need to recognize the seasons and then capitalize on what that season is bringing, because it will be your blessing. The Bible says that even the righteous man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth its fruit in its season. It's not that you are going to bring forth fruit or... Yes, when you have prospered, you are a man of all seasons. The Bible says that you will not even know when heat comes. You are, when you are planted by the rivers of water, you don't even know when heat comes. It's like, when did the weather change? When did the dollar rise? When the dollar has risen there, and prices have gone up. I see. Okay. Tin of milk is how much? Oh, okay. Pure water sachet is how much? Ah, so how much was it before? Oh, okay. I see. They don't notice these things. But you see, when you are tight, you see, and you don't understand the seasons that God is working in. When even the slightest dollars move from here to here, no, you start panicking. Fuel has increased from this to this, you start panicking. But I want you to usher yourself into God's new season, so that even when heat comes, you will not even know when heat cometh. Hallelujah. So tell somebody, it's your season. It's a season of enlargement. Enter into that season and enjoy beautiful things. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Oh yes. Oh yes. So last week we began to look at God's encounter with Joshua after Moses had died. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says that God came to Joshua after the death of Moses and spoke to him and said, I'm bringing you a season of enlargement. I know that Moses is dead. Somebody relied on. Somebody who was the main game changer for your life. But even though that game changer is gone, I'm going to be your game changer from now. And you are going to experience a season of enlargement. You are going to tread upon every land that you step on is yours. You will overtake, you will take the land of the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and so many of these ites type of countries are going to be yours. Because you are afraid of them, but you are not afraid when Moses was alive. You see, sometimes when somebody is your main game changer, like your father, who is the main, yeah, some fathers are really larger than life, eh? When they are around, there's no problem in the house. No, but people don't know when ECG changed their tariffs, or what Ghana Water changed their tariffs, or that the water tankers went on strike because they have increased their tariffs. They don't know. People in the house don't feel it. They don't know it because there's somebody there who takes care of all such things. May God give you such a person in your life, and may you also become such a person in your own life, in the mighty name of Jesus. And he said, even though he's dead now, rise up. You are going to take the land that I promised to Moses. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And then he told him that it is a season of enlargement. Don't sit down and mourn over Moses' body. In Jude, the Bible says that the archangel Michael, in contending with the devil over the body of Moses, doth not bring upon him a railing accusation, but only said unto him, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. That's all he said to the devil. So you ask, why is he contending over the body of Moses with the devil? Because I think, and many Bible scholars, feel or think that what would have happened if they had seen where Moses was buried was that they would have pitched a shrine there. Because of the way Moses was to them, they would probably have worshipped and created a kind of shrine around his body and the grave, and be there, not move on, because Moses was so great in their lives. And so the body was just disappeared. And the devil was looking for that body, and the angel was also looking for that body. The devil wanted it to pitch it at a place where he could create a worshiping center for the people. And the archangel took the body and made it disappear, so they don't have a place, because God is their God and not Moses. So that said, here is now Joshua. He's now saddled with this about 6 million people whom he has not really led directly before. And you have to take them now. Even this group of people that are in this service, if I want to take you, let's say, to school junction or, you know, gates even, it will take a lot to mobilize you. Some people will be chatting, they have not seen each other for some time. Some people say, shall we go? We are going mad. You see, some people will still be in the hall. How we've gone on the road and we are marching towards the gate, there'll be some people still here in the hall. You don't know what they are doing. Some are chatting. Some are even in the washroom doing their makeup. But there are some ladies, any shift of location means touch up. I know a few things. They have to touch up. Once they leave this room, something must touch their face. I don't know what the reason is, but I don't know. It's all beautification. We like to see beauty, so it doesn't matter when you do it. Do it. Because when we see without some of the things, we don't see well. Is somebody hearing me? Yeah. So you see that even to lead even 20 people, let's go here. Hey! Somebody say, my daughter is where? We will come back here. So leave the children in the children's home. I want to give her some money in case we don't come early. You come, then somebody, bishop is calling you. Then even people quarrel over this small movement. So you can imagine Joshua with about 6 million people trying to cross to a land where there are wicked people that he's going to fight. So it was quite a tall order for him in terms of what he had to meet. And God said, don't be afraid. Be strong and very courageous, because you will lead these people into, you will lead them into that land. You will share and distribute the land to them. You are the one who will do it, not anybody else. Don't mourn over the death of Moses. So similarly in our lives, there are such season changes. Sometimes somebody dies in your life and it may signal a kind of decline in your life or an ascension into a place of enlargement, depending on how you posture yourself and how you relate with God thereafter. You have a relationship breaks up, and then it's almost like life has come for some people. It's like, my life has come to an end. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do from now. I will die. Oh, I'm going to kill myself. You see, some small boy who doesn't have money says he's changed his mind. He doesn't want you again. You want to kill yourself. Eh? Well, and if he's in your life, he won't do anything apart from a lot of nice words. You are beautiful. You are nice. Do you know that you are the most beautiful girl in the whole world? Then you'll be very happy. But he's not telling you the truth too. So as he's saying you are the most beautiful, there's also another person he's telling you are the most beautiful. How can two people be the most beautiful? Eh? That's why Ghana most beautiful, they choose only one person. Yes. Most beautiful should be one. But you, the guy, you know, in his life, you are the most beautiful, she's the most beautiful, that other one too is the most beautiful. He has about six most beautiful in his life. And you feel that you are the one who you are the most beautiful. Every one of them is most beautiful. Yeah. Don't kill yourself, is what the Lord is saying. Don't be afraid. Don't think that life has come to an end. It's not over yet. Some people go through divorce. Unfortunately, it may spell like maybe the decline, because maybe the guy was everything. I don't know whether he was everything, but no. he was there, and you two were there. And he says it's not going to work. What you do? What you do? You kill yourself? No. Arise. Arise. God says, arise. Arise. There is a place of enlargement for you. Yes. I wouldn't wish for you a divorce or even a separation from any friendship. But separations, sometimes a worker who is very, very good resigns because somebody has pushed him to a greener pasture. Or so he thinks. Do you see? And then you are saying, oh, this guy knew everything. I didn't know anything. One man was telling me, my son died. I don't know anything in the company. My son is the one. Bank account, signatures, I mean, where things are. I don't know anything. He knows that now he's gone. What should I do? What do I do? You can't bring him back for sure. But as long as God lives and God is still on his throne, life is not over. Opportunities are not ended. Are you listening to me? You failed an exam. You failed an exam. Don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. You failed an exam. Even when we were in primary school, there used to be a poem that said, if you at first you don't succeed, what do? Try again. It's the title of the poem is Try Again. Try again is a lesson you should heed. Try again. Try again. If at first you don't succeed, try again. I think that's where I know. I remember up to. You see, try again. Try again, brother. Try again. You bounced a sister. Life is not over. She's to you the most beautiful fairy that is walking on earth that you want to take to your home. But she says she doesn't like you. Or you are not her type. Is life over? It may sound like life is over when you get such news. I have had news like that before. When I was in the university, I loved a girl. Or so I thought. Yes. Let me tell you something. I thought, you see, then one day she told me that I don't have time for her and that she thinks that I don't love her, so let's, she didn't say we should kiss and say goodbye. She said, let's just quit and say goodbye. Yeah. Are you listening to me? And then when I heard the news, it was my first experience. I realized that, oh yeah, that's why people get so heartbroken. But it was some way to hear such news. Even at that time, I really believe myself that there's no girl I want that I can't get. You see. Now I've got one, then the person has, she has, the one who has initiated the thing that near Chuni, it's okay. Bye bye. Hey, what a shock, yeah, what a shock. And when I heard the news, before I realized I was crying. Oh! Me, pa, a grown up, well, I was not so grown up, but I was a young man. And I was crying. Hey, and she kept saying that it's not going to work. And I said, oh, it's going to work. It will work. Don't worry. So I said, no. You don't have time for me. Every time, this. If you pass my room, cry some few minutes, be, and then you go, well, we're leaders of the meeting. So, except the group. So it's like every time you are visiting. So me, I thought that when I visit and I'm with others and we visit you, we are visiting. Not knowing that, no, if you're in a relationship, it doesn't count like that. You have to really go intentionally and be there and sit down and relax. Small boy, also in Namna, when you're always moving around. Oh, hello. Every sister was hello. So it's like, I'm also just among one of the sisters who are here. I don't feel special. So let's sorry. Bye-bye. Yeah, I was very sad. You see. And I cried. My nose was running. Hey! Handkerchief was full. Now, I have to leave the room, you see. And the news came in her room. So I have to now leave her room with the back of my head like this and go out. And then when I meet people and they say, why you look sad? What has happened? You're always bubbly and very excited. Oh, what has happened? Why is your face like this? So you have to now explain to this person that, oh, She said it will work. It's not going to work. There's a way where you finish crying. The tears are finished though, but that hey. But after a few days, I wiped my tears, blew my nose, oiled my face, put on a nice shirt, lifted my chest. I said, now my servant is dead, but arise. So I arose. I went about my father's business. I was still preaching. I was still going to church. I was still reading my Bible. I was still going for outreaches. I was still following up souls. I was still leading the group. I was still smiling. My smile came back. My laughter came back. My dance came back. Hey! I finished university. Then I met another girl. I said, I like you. I didn't even say I like you. But before I said I like her, she liked her. I always thought that people will fall in love with me, not I will fall in love first. Yes. But the way I am, I thought that, yeah, that's how it is. And it's true, sometimes, you know. I believe myself. That's the sort of mind that I've had that it took me to this problem. But this one, it was my birthday. She brought basket of goods, nice things. We're just friends, so my cousins and they said, hey, why? Is there something? I said, why? If a Christian sister brings you a basket or something on your birthday, does it mean anything? Sana, it meant something. Oh, yes. So when I saw that this thing, I saw that the door was open, I entered. It was my season of enlargement. Fast forward, it has led to 2 children. It has led to 3 grandchildren. Oh, yes. and still counting, and that has led to many, many breakthroughs in my life. You see. So your season of enlargement may be coming at the next point of disappointment. Instead of killing yourself, brace yourself. Because often it drives you away from God, but rather you should be driven to God. If only you can go back to God, because He is the main game changer. Moses is around, and because Moses is around, sometimes you don't seem to see that God is there. Do you see? But when the person shifts off your gaze, then now the way is, son, now there's God beyond this man, and I've been putting I've been relying on this man only like that. Now I see my God. Then my God says that, be strong and of good courage. It's a time of your season of enlargement. You will be enlarged. You will be advanced. God will help you. It is God who will do it, not a man. God is not a man. God is better than a man. So trust in Him and be well. Then He said to Joshua, now I want you to be, I know that you are going to fight, you are going to overcome, you are going to take territories that are not yours with giants and all kinds of people in it. Difficult terrain, but you will succeed. So you will have good success and you will prosper in all your way. But then he pointed to something. This book. This. See, when you say this, it means there's some particular thing somewhere that you are pointing to. That this book of the law. This book. Which is the Bible. So contrary to what most of us who are even Christians think, this book of the law is still this book of the law that you must take seriously if you are going to have good success and prosper in all your way. You got to turn your eyes upon what God is pointing. God is pointing you to a book. His book. This book of the law. This Bible that many of us don't read and don't really regard what it says. Are you listening to me? So the first secret he gave to Joshua is that this book, if you are going to succeed, you are going to do well, this book. Somebody say, this book. I can't hear.
This book.
I can't hear.
This book.
Ask your neighbor, where is your this book that God is pointing you to? Where is yours? Where has it been since you came to church last week? Where has your this book been? Where has it been? Where has it been? This book. This book. This book. This book. This book. This book. Take it seriously. This book. He's telling Joshua, this book. He's also telling you, this book. This book that we are reading from. This same book is what he's saying, that if you can put your life on it, and if you can take it seriously, do you understand? And do the things that are in it. He says, you will have good success and you will prosper in all your way. You will prosper. You will prosper. You will do well. That means that if you meet Amorites, this book will give you victory over Amorites. If you meet Hittites, it is this same book. If you meet Perizzites, it is this same book. If you meet Jebusites, it is this same book. If you meet, Gergesites, there are so many of these ones. But when you meet them, this book, and I want to tell you too, when you meet the demons and the giants of business, this book, and the giants of prosperity in your job, it is this same book. And if you meet the giants of marriage, and you want to succeed in marriage and prosper in it, this same book, this 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 book. If you are raising children and you want to have children who are successful and who are also prosperous in all their way, this book of the Lord, this book, 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 this book. Yeah. Believe it. Believe it. This book. Joshua, this book. Joshua, I'll be with you as I was with Moses. But this book, this book, This book. This book. Dear pastor, you want to do well? You want to advance? This book, this same book that we are talking, is this book. If you care to look at it, this book. The Bible is the primary book that God gives to us to guide us. The psalmist says that your word, this same book of the law, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. This same book. Yes. The psalmist says that blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the way of sinners, but his delight is in this book. His delight is in this book. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This book. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, let us return to this book. Okay? Tell yourself, it's my month of Bible, back to the Bible. Yes, BTB. Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Back to this book. Back to this word. Back to this. To my quiet time. My Bible studies. Studying the word. Studying scriptures. Studying sentences. This book. This book. I have other books. Maybe you have a book for accounting. A book for chemistry and physics. A book for whatever. Or some of you have newspapers. But this book. No matter what book you have in your life. This is that book. This book of the law. This book of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, this book, this book, this book, this book, this book. That's your first secret. And there are other books too that God has led others to write, which he will point you to, like the angel pointed to the small book, or he heard a voice that said, there's a big angel. 1 foot of his is in the sea, the other is on land. He's holding a little book. Take that little book and eat it. Yes, take that little book and eat it. Ingest it. Yes, imbibe it. Internalize it. Yes, take that book. And when you take it, you eat it. And when you eat it, it will be sweet in your mouth, bitter in your stomach. But you will prophesy to nations and to kings and to peoples. Yes. You go to different, you will become international. In fact, even just look at secularly. Those who have eaten certain books, secular books, they are invited. They speak on radio, they are interviewed, they travel, they speak at programs, they have seminars, conferences, they are speaking. When you hear them, because they have eaten certain books, that's why they are where they are. Secularly. When you go to school and you don't eat your books well, you will see that you are last. Accomplished lawyers have eaten jurisprudence, contract, law, tort, constitutional law, criminal law, to be brave. You forgot what you are learning, studying? Yes, intellectual property. Different law of contract, different things. They have learned it. They chew it. They eat it. They don't just have it and hold it and just have it and say, oh, I have this book. No, you have to eat it and let it enter you. When it enters you, you change. Yeah. When we used to have a book, Bostock, for mathematics. Add maths and higher maths for A-level. Bostock. When you have boss talk, hey, what a book. Hey, it was very rare to find. When you get one, it's like, yeah, this book of the law, this book of mathematics. When you have it, I tell you, all the questions bow to you. Lambert, chemistry. Yeah, now Conan Parker. This book, you see, so sometimes there are some books for subjects. If you don't have it, it's difficult to pass. Is that not so? So in that subject, they will say this book, this book, this book of physics, this book of chemistry, this particular, even sometimes there are textbooks written from America and other. That's not the book you need. You need a pamphlet. Zomatic ideas. Written, typed with circle styling, this thing where you can't see the printing well, but Charlie, you have to look at it and see it well, because that is the book that is going to shift you to your next level. And spiritually too, there are people who have written books. Some of them, the books help you to even understand the Bible very well. The explanation of the verses and the examples of their lives make the revelation clear to you. And suddenly you see what to do, you know what to do, what to say, and where to go. So this book can also refer. So Bishop Dag often refers to a particular book that led him plead your case. It led him to Kenneth Hagin. And when he met, because he was exposed to Kenneth Hagin, other books of Kenneth Hagin, other videos of Kenneth Hagin, other audios of Kenneth Hagin brought him to a point where one day, while listening to him, an anointing was imparted to him. And from that day he heard, from today you can teach. And from that day we've been seeing and experiencing what God has done in his life through the years. Through the book. This book. The Bible is your primary. But there are other books successful people have written. Yes. You see, Joshua should have been the one going to God to say, Father, now that Moses is dead, what am I supposed to do? What I do? I'm finished. Moses is dead. I'm finished. Lord, what should I do? And God will answer this book of the law. But sometimes we should be asking ourselves the question. Now that my relationship is broken, what should I do? Now that I've been sacked from this job, Lord, what do you have for me? Now that my landlord has sacked me, what do I do? Lord, show me what to do. Now we are not asking the questions. But God in his mercy and wisdom has said that you didn't ask the question, but I'm telling you the answer to a question you should have asked. Yes. My church is not growing. What should I do? These are questions that intelligent people always ask questions. What should I do? What is the next step for me? Now that I'm married, what should I do? What should I do? You ask. So somebody has written a book, Model Marriage. Duties of a wife. Duties of a husband. And you assume that because you have done a wedding, you know what to do, but you don't know what to do. You can't know what to do. Sometimes we are taught what to do through watching our parents in their homes. How your mother talks to your father. How your father relates to your mother. So if you're a boy, you become the pattern of your father's life becomes how you also pattern your life. But that's what you have seen and that's what you are learning. That's the book you are reading. His life is a book. But sometimes, unfortunately, you don't have a good example ahead of you. And what to do is that disappeared and vanished. You don't know what to do. Some of us wives, we don't respect at all. But because the pattern of relating to a man in the house, what you saw, either from your mother or your sisters, or an auntie's marriage, you feel that that's the normal. It's a new normal for you. So disrespect is your new normal. And some of you brothers, you are so irresponsible, it's not funny. You are in the house, you don't give top money. It's like, oh, we should manage. Manage what? Accounts. We should manage the account. What account? You don't have any responsibilities like, oh, if something is finished, it's finished. It's like it's finished. We don't have it's not doing so. It's only our house. Why? The credit is finished. So bring some money. Don't you have any money there? It's like, don't you have? Then you're asking your wife, well, don't you have any money there? Is there any money around? There's no plan. We are haphazard. You can be with your wife for months, years. You don't give any money to her that here is money to do your hair. And you call yourself a husband. Am I supposed to? I thought the hair is her hair. Her own hair, she will do it herself. You see? You don't know what to do. All most men know about marriage is that they have a powerful manhood which can service the woman very well. And that's what they are bringing to the table. So they go to the gym, they strengthen themselves, strengthen their hips, their waist, their body, everything. How to really perform. That's what you have come to the home to perform. Share. Who told you that marital home is for performance? It's one of the smallest things. It's that you have the tune saying, now how to think, what to do with the house? How do we pay rent? Number one, and it's your responsibility as a man. Since pre-COVID, the chop money you are giving pre-COVID is still the same amount you are giving today. And the dollar was what? 6 cedis. Now the dollar is what? 15.5. When they are giving you only your kegari, bambara beans, kenke,
small fish, kenke, small fish.
You say they don't give you proper food in the house. It's not magical moves. I'm saying that you don't know what to do, but to read what anointed people have written, it's like you won't read it. Because I just know what to do. You don't know what to do. How to talk to somebody. How to respect. How to say please. Please in new vocal. The word please. I'm sorry. It's like, it's the day you say it, now you die. Like the day you say please, man, that's the day you die. Yeah, you die more like that. It's like you collapse. Whatever the word please comes from mouth, or I'm sorry, dear. Oh, well, even when you think that I am sorry, you will die. So there's no I am sorry in your words. I am a please. Yes, dear. What? I didn't hear. You didn't hear. You need to wave your hand. You need to squeeze your face. You need to shout it. I just don't know what to do. But what to do in marriage? What to do in business? Some of you are workers, poor workers. You are not a good worker for your boss at all. They should sack you tomorrow to help you so that you can move to a season of enlargement. Because the way you are going there, nobody can promote you and nobody can change your salary. If they change your salary, it will be wrong. You don't work at all. You don't add any value to the organization. You are useless. Always late. Sit down. Don't do it. You yourself calculate what you did last week. Like when I went to work, Monday I did this, Tuesday. If you add all, it won't be more than 1 hour of work for the whole week. Hey, you are not changing your salary. You are not changing. Why should they change your salary? Why? Give me 21 reasons why. There is a book. It's called The Art of Ministry or Rules of Church Work. When you get Rules of Church Work, there's a section that talks about how to increase your value. How to increase your value as a worker. It's for ministry work, but you can always learn about life, business, and work, normal social work, normal secular work by learning about ministry work, and you see how to increase your value. Hey! One sentence I read, he said, when your boss calls you, take a pen and a notebook. I said, hey, this one, I didn't realize how valuable it is. I was relating with some people. And I said, when I told you that A, B, C, and D, and you have done only A, I forgot. I said, if you had taken a pen and a notebook, you would have written all the three important things I wanted you to, but you didn't take. You see, but you won't read. That's why the song says, books are a blessing. Parchments make the difference. And you see us like that, signing your face, but the brain. You see, the other day I was looking, I was at a gym. Yes. I saw this. I normally go early so that nobody will see me. But this time I was a bit late. So when I got there, there were these. When I got out of my car, I saw them go. I said, Jesus, Bishop Ediade, you have really brought yourself, because their dressing was not good at all. I said, hey, what is this? How am I looking at that? Oh, look at what you are revealing. What about the brain? The brain, yeah, you can't reveal it on the car park. Reveal the brain. Or you see somebody with nice buttocks, breath, sheeny. The inside the coconut, what the pope is not inside. Yes. You see, this is not what I'm preaching about, but I've just been stirred. Yeah. It's a season of enlargement. But somebody here, you will never create a business for yourself. You have to work for somebody till you die. But if you don't know how to work and increase your value, you will die a pauper. And if somebody marries you, he has married a problem. Whether brother or sister, married, you have married them. So there are some brothers when you marry them, know that he's paying the dowry, even the dowry for your money is in it. Because you can see that he's not well. Mrs. Yaya Painty, we have to take it like that. We want to use the message like that. Because when you marry him, you have to look after him. But he's not, this thing here, what is inside? If you get watermelon cry, you'll be happy. Yes. Yes. If you get watermelon, at least you'll be drinking juice every day. But some of the heads of these brothers, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who shall come to judge the quick and the dead, watermelon, for you will not get from that head. Watermelon. And they will never reap. Black men, African men, useless in the head, not reap anything at all. With opinions that are oblique opinion, like his off-tangent opinion, but he's very strong. Books are a blessing. Parchments make the difference. Books will bring you to your prophet and your teacher. The song says that books will bring you to your prophet and your teacher. Yes. Because that's what you need. The counselor in your life, he has written books. That what will help you in this life is in a book. As somebody said, if you want to hide anything from a black man, hide it in a book. It will be safe. If they come to your house and you have dollars, put it in books and put it on the dining table. Don't touch it. So at a point in my life, that's how I used to save money. $5, I can't go to the bank with it. I just share it in a book. Just leave it on the shelf. Oh, safety is of the Lord. But I preached about it so much that now I realize that somebody can easily find these my tricks. So I've changed my strategy. Yeah. But books, I literally put money in books. Eh? You see, somebody will come to the house, you take your briefcase, you take a knife, you open it, open your wardrobe, bring all the clothes out because he can find bags. He will remove everything. But the book that is there, what are we going to do with all these books? They'll brush it aside, not knowing that that's the treasure. And so in our lives, books are treasures. And they are the things that will help us. But for us Africans, how we have been brought up, there's no reading in our lives. We are not readers. We don't like reading. We don't want to read. Anything in the book means that it's like it doesn't exist. That's why from today, change your ways and change your attitude. Because God pointed the book to Joshua. If it was a black boy like you and I, yeah, we are finished. We will never win any battle. Because this book they are pointed to, we will never open it. But from today, you open books. You open your Bible. You open books that spiritual and anointed people have written. And it will be a blessing for your life. In Jesus' name. Clap your hands unto the Lord. This book. Shout this book. Lift your Bible if it's on your phone. If it's on your iPad. If it's on your hardcover. Lift it up and say, this book. This book. This book. This book is changing my life. My life is changing because of this book. Because of this book. And you'll be in the church, you don't have a Bible. You say you're a Christian, you don't have a Bible you read. Every morning, this week, revive your Bible reading, Bible study, and God will bless your life. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Joshua 1, verse 8. So he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Okay? So now you've taken the book. Then he says, it shouldn't depart out of your mouth. But, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate. And observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Is somebody hearing the word? Enlargement will come through meditation. Yes. Oh yes. And he says, you will meditate on the word. What then is meditation? One may ask. Number one, meditation is the art of thinking deeply about something. It is the art of thinking deeply about something. Few precious metals are found on the surface of the earth. It is those who dig deep who find these precious minerals. When you meditate on the word, it shows you are trying to go deeper. To get the real valuables out of the word. 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 If you meditate on the word, your life will change. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Yes. Yes. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 1, he says, for I would that ye knew what great of conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. These treasures are hidden. It is when you meditate on the word that you get the treasures and the precious minerals and the valuables that are in the word. If you don't meditate, to think, and meditation is what? The art of thinking deeply about something. The art of thinking. So when you read the scriptures, it's not enough to just say, I've read. But how deeply do you think about it? Because unless you think deeply about it, you are not going to get much from the scriptures. I'm teaching you now. The lack of meditation is the reason why people do not understand or believe in the wisdom of the word of God. Because we don't meditate and think deeply about the word of God, many people don't understand or believe the word of God. The Bible says that when anyone hears the word and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. So the person who hears the word and does not understand it, when the word enters, he doesn't understand. So the Bible says that the devil comes to take away what was sown. So you will never benefit from the word. So you can be in the church for 20 years, but you are like an unbeliever. So don't say, Bishop, there's some of the people in the church, you know, when you employ them, they are thieves. And when you employ them, they don't work well. And these are your children. It's not that my children. My children who don't meditate in the word will have a similar faith as somebody who doesn't even believe in the word or doesn't believe in God. Me, I don't want to marry anybody in the church. But when you marry the people in the church, the people in the church, you know, do you know something? The people in the church, sometimes when you marry them, the marriage doesn't really work. Ah, it doesn't work because you who are married, you are not meditating deeply on the word. When the Bible says something about what wives should do, you don't think deeply about it. You just say, oh, we are going to marry. Have you thought deeply about what marriage is even about? A lot of people don't think deeply about what marriage is about. Just save the date. Save the date. So we have saved the date. Oh, my gown is coming from Paris. Okay. My shoe is coming from Italy. All right. My suit is from, where do they make shoes? Spain. Beautiful. Now, you've got the suit, you've got the ring, everything. The ring is from Obuasi. Okay. Your pure gold is from Obuasi. So you have got the real pure gold from Obuasi. You've got the ring, you've got everything, but have you thought deeply about what this union marriage is about? See, meditation, you see, helps you to get what is this thing about? The deep thinking. Number two, I'm teaching you because you need to have knowledge. This one I will not finish, but if I attempt to finish, it will not work. Yeah. Meditation is the art of repetition. It's thinking deeply about something. It's also the art of repetition. Meditation speaks of repeating something over and over and over again. Over. That's why I say, this book of thou shall not depart out of that, but thou shalt meditate. You have to repeat it to yourself. When you listen to a message over and over and over again, and you are thinking deeply about it, you are actually attempting to get the treasure. Last week I preached, we were all stirred up. Me, Mikra was preaching, I was stirred up, I was affected. But after that, you've not listened to the message again. It means that you have got something, but you haven't really got the treasure in the message. And I will tell you something. Oh yes. This pastor sent me a text. He's not in our church, but he listened to the message. He said, are you there still? He sent me a link to my own YouTube message, Season of Enlargement. Then he typed, Daddy! Then he put exclamation, Daddy, the pastor in some church. I just finished watching this message. Daddy, what a great and powerful message to break my fast with. A timely prophetic message to me personally It is truly my season of enlargement. God bless you, Daddy. I'm getting emotional now. It is truly my season. It is a new level. Thank you, thank you, thank you, with plenty of exclamation marks. He said, I feel a new wave of anointing and presence just entered my office. I'm in tears as I type, but I honestly don't know why I am in tears. God bless you. I am sharing it with my leaders right away. God bless you richly. A very blessed evening to you, Daddy. Then he sent me his notes in video that he has made, his own notes that he has written with his hand. He sent me a video of his notes. Then he sent me, amplify your ministry with miracles and manifestations of the Spirit. He says, I am now reading this book. Because by the time he finished listening to the message, he must find a book to read. And this is the book he found, that I must read this book. Yes. He said so many, I said, oh, you are experiencing supernatural impartation directly from the Holy Spirit. He said, I truly am. I receive it in the name of Jesus. I am renewed and refreshed and receiving fresh impartation. Then I said, something is happening already. He said, I see it. I receive it fully in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Then I said, may the Lord make you 1,000 times more. He said, amen, amen, amen. I receive fresh grace to be 1,000 times more. Thanks so much, Daddy. Then he said, so many other things I can't share. Repeated. And a message that stirs you up. It's not a message that is, oh, I was so blessed by them, and then you just go off. You need repetition, because what has entered, it means that a river has been opened. Don't make it a swimming pool. It's like a river is entering into your life, and you have now closed the gap by that one soaking, and then you say you are finished. So you have turned it into a swimming pool. But a river or a stream is not the same as a swimming pool. When you listen once, it's like you have got a pool. But when you keep listening, the thing opens up like a river, a stream that never stops flowing. The meditation is the art of repeating. Repetition, repeating, repeat. You see, let's say if I take myself and let's say, please stand up, husband and wife. You see, when they came for, was I at your wedding? It was in Kumasi. Okay. But if I'm going to marry two people, dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God in the face of this congregation to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony, which is an honorable estate, instituted of God himself, signifying unto us the mystical union that is betwixt Christ and his church. Which holy estate Christ adorned and beautified with the first miracle which he wrought in Cana of Galilee, and is commended in holy writ to be honorable among all men, and is therefore not by any to be enterprised, nor taken in hand unadvisedly, lightly or wantonly, but discreetly and soberly and in the fear of the Lord, duly considering the causes for which matrimony was ordained. First, matrimony was ordained for the increase of mankind according to the will of God, and that children might be brought up in the fear and nurture of the Lord and to the praise of his holy name. Second, it was ordained for a remedy against sin, that such persons that have not the gift of continency might marry and keep themselves undefiled members of Christ's body. Now, and I can open the book for you, see that sentence for sentence, word for word, with deep understanding, because I've repeated it. I don't know how many marriages are official, but maybe about, I don't know, so many marriages. So in the repetition, the thing has entered. Yes. Third, it was ordained for mutual society help and comfort, that the one or two have the other, both in prosperity and adversity, to which holy estate these two persons come now to be joined. I require and charge you both, as you will answer the day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts will be disclosed, that if either of you know of any impediment why you may not be lawfully joined together in matrimony, you do now confess it. For be well assured that so many as are coupled together, otherwise than God's word does allow, are not joined together by God, neither is their matrimony lawful. See, see, we will not even go anywhere. It's repetition. The reason why many of us don't know verses, because we have not repeated like a scripture. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You don't do that, so such things. You don't meditate. You don't repeat the same word. This book of the law, this book of the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy, shall not depart out of thy, shall not. It doesn't come by just you read it more than it has entered your head. No. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. It doesn't come by just reading the scripture and say, oh, I've read that scripture before. You need to repeat it. And it is that repetition that makes the thing enter. Makes it enter. So from today, when you are reading, most of us say, oh, somebody say, I've read the Bible cover to cover. That's not the point. That's not the point. May I have the rings, please? These rings are precious ornaments made out of pure gold. Yes, may the gold in these rings remind you of how pure your marriage shall be. Let it be a reminder of love and not a shackle for domination. Yes. Yes. We. It's not that I sat down to chew it, Baba. It's repetition. I've never memorized it. Never. But repetition. Repetition. It's part of meditation. It makes the word enter. It makes you remember. It makes you internalize. It makes you eat. So you see the words that are used for meditation, eat. Thy words were found and I did eat them. Jeremiah says, I did eat them. They eat the word. When they heard what the apostle said, some people ask me that, do I cram the scriptures? No, I don't cram. He said, I eat them. I eat them. Meditation is what is meant by eating. You eat the word. Take it from the angel and eat it. And it will be bitter in your belly. It will be something that is you are tossing over and struggling over, and the meaning of it and all that. You are struggling and meditating and tossing it around and so on. Then he says that in your mouth it will be sweet. But when you start to say the word from your mouth, it's very nice. And then he says, from there you prophesy to kings, you prophesy to tongues, you prophesy to nations, you prophesy to people, you will talk to people. That's how come some of us are traveling and preaching. We have eaten the word. When I look at Richmond, he's traveling all over the world as an economic consultant for nations. He has eaten. When he talks, I wonder how he thinks, because that thing is so much, he talks fast. And I say, hey, how do you, all these things are in your head. But when you are eating something, you speak it, it flows from your mouth. Like most of us, when they say, maybe preach about something, or you come from, the day you travel somewhere and say you are from Bishop Edia, they'll say that, oh, then you must come and preach something small. Because by all means, you will have something. Once you are from Macarius headquarters there, you have to share something. And say, please, I'm not like that. Me, I'm not like that. Me, I'm just in the church. Please, I beg. Don't call me. Don't call. But Pastor Emmanuel Pansa has been here. He's never preached here before. Never even preached in any service anywhere before. And somebody invited him to South Africa. He's there right now. Oh, he preached. He preached those who forget. He preached something about honor. Hey! The church was alive like this. They danced, and I saw him. He was dancing. I said, hey, your dance, you have to improve your dance, because you have failed your dance at all. But it was very beautiful. Because once you have eaten something, a day will come when you have to call for it, and it will be a blessing. Love for Jesus. Oh, yes. B. People listen to messages and do not understand the dark sayings and proverbs in them. They listen to messages and do not notice the prophecies in them. They listen to preaching and miss the instructions God is giving them. People miss out because they listen to messages only once. Listening to messages once will make you miss the key of meditation. Tell somebody, I'm going to meditate on the word. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Number three, meditation is the art of becoming successful. Joshua was told to meditate on the word and become a success. Yes. It is the master key. Meditate. Think deeply. You know that most successful people are great thinkers. Kenneth Copeland has a room where he says he thinks. Oyedepo says he has a thinking room. Yes. There's no bed there. He just goes to think. They are deep thinkers. In Genesis 24, I think verse 63, Isaac went to the field to go and meditate. Then he saw the camels coming and saw that they were bringing his wife. Went to meditate. Great people meditate. Is that so? And Isaac went out to meditate. He went to meditate in the field. At evening time. You don't have any time where you meditate. Everything is noisy around you. Everything is noisy. Television, blah, 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 blah. You can never turn off your TV for a few minutes so you can think. Think. This guy who said he loves you, think. Use your brain. Oh, Abajwa. Use your brain. Think. Who is he? Who is? What is he like? What is his relationship between soap and water? He smells of perfume, very strong perfume all the time, but has he bathed before the perfume has come? You don't think, oh. Has he got a job? The car he used to pick me, is it for him or is it for his father? You don't think. You need time to think. You are in love. You are feeling all the bumulungwins and all the vibrations. But think. 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 Use your head. The girl is very nice. Look at her breast, her buttocks. The shape is correct. But think. Is it her real buttocks or it is enhanced foam? There are dresses. Not dresses, but undergarments. Ladies wear. It has foam here to make the buttocks round and make these buttocks round and breasts to come out boom like that so that I can look at your face. 2000 Ghana. Small, well, brother, Christian brother, when you see it now, oh, wow, what a breast. Oh, this one, when I hold it, and I'll be like a goalkeeper. You'll be like a goalkeeper. When you go and they open their dress and they take it, where is the thing I wanted to hold? My trickle. It's a trick. They have tricked you. Then when you hold the buttocks and you tap, you say, po. It's like, ash foam. Hey! Think! Successful people think! They meditate! Yeah! Yeah! He said, why do you think the whole God is coming to a man, a soldier? He says, you are going to fight battles, but think on the word that you read. Meditate on it. Think! And you want to be successful, you don't want to think, you don't want to meditate, you don't want to think on what is being said. I'm preaching. Now, think about what I'm preaching. That's why we write notes. When you just sit there and fold your arms and look at me, where you go, you forgot. Can't think about what I'm preaching. You go back and say, oh, it was a nice, Bishop, no, Uhri. That's all you remember. He jumps. He
jumps power when he's preaching. Hey, he says he goes to the gym. I'm also going to the gym. You are not thinking well. You do need to reflect a little more deeply on the word if you want to be successful. Bishop said one day he read the scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:15. He said, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. He read the scripture. When he started to think about it, he said, oh, give myself wholly. Wholly means I must give up my profession. To him, that's what the scripture meant. Give up your profession. So from this scripture, he entered full-time ministry. When you don't think about it, oh, give thyself wholly to them. It's like, it sounds like a very nice poetic phraseology. Last but one, I'll read it. Meditation is the art of extracting wisdom. We are going to talk about this more next week. Extracting wisdom. Extracting wisdom. The Bible says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They are hidden. They are not so obvious. If you don't meditate and think, you will never understand what God is saying to you. And never, therefore, ever do any of the things that are said. Extracting. When you read the scriptures, there's a wisdom that will come from God's word. God's way. You read Proverbs 6. From verse 6, it says that go to the ant, thou sluggard. What is he doing? He's thinking about ants who are moving. As you are spraying them with rain, he's looking at them moving food from here to here, here to here, here to here, here to here. It is summer. Winter, I don't see them. He's thinking. He said, a lazy man, look, go to an ant. You will study the ant and learn from the ant. Go to the ant, that's like that. Consider her ways and be wise. Then he goes on verse 7, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. Ant. Verse 10, where's the guy? How long? Verse 9. Verse 9, how long will thou sleep, O sluggard, as you are boasting that I've slept for 14 hours? And then your man come and be a man, that's 14 hours. Hey! My dad the whole day. Say, how long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will thou arise out of thy sleep? Verse 10 says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come. As one that traveleth, and your want like an armed man. Hey, God is giving us wisdom. God is blessing you with wisdom. You will be wiser than you were before. Proverbs 24 verse 30, he says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. I went by. I was passing by. When I saw the man, he doesn't have understanding and he doesn't have knowledge. He says, I went by the field of a lazy man. I went by the field of a man who doesn't have understanding. Verse 31. Hey, Jack. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. You see, when you don't consider and meditate on it, you won't have instruction. And instruction is what to do. So what should I do? Then what was the instruction? It says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. I think poverty is always traveling, eh? He said, the one that traveled and I want as an armed man. It's like lack and poverty, like armed robbers. When they come upon you, you can't escape. It's like Waba or Wabatina. One who has traveled and come, but the name of Yinaba, Obeyed and Wasakim. At least you say spend the night before you go tomorrow. poverty will come like that. And then your want, who here be a winner, it is like an armed man who has come upon you. Captured you. But this season of enlargement, you will escape all these armed men and travelers, poor poverty travelers and armed men, poverty armed men who are coming to capture you. You will escape all of them by the wisdom that God will give you. You will do well. You'll be blessed. You'll do well. You'll be blessed in Jesus' name. And then finally, I beg you, finally, meditation helps you not to miss a jot or a tittle of the word of God. Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Yes. Till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle. A jot is the smallest letter or alphabet. And the tittle is the smallest punctuation mark. It's like none of it will fail in the word. If you don't meditate, you will know that there are commas and exclamation marks that mean something in the Bible. Yeah. It is that meditation that opened the lay ministry to us in this church. Because in Ephesians 4:11, he says when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Do you see? King James says, for the perfecting of the work, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So King James, you see, for the perfecting of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry, comma, for the edifying of the body of Christ, colon, till we all come to the unity of the faith. But we realize that when you use another version like NIV, verse 11. He says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So to equip, so the prophets, pastors like myself, we are to equip the believers for works of service. It's different from the apostles, prophets, and perfecting the saints, comma, the work of the ministry, comma, for the edifying of the body of Christ, colon. So what God is saying is that when you don't meditate, you will never notice the commas and what they really mean. Yes. Because once you change the way where a comma should be put, the meaning of the sentence also changes. Yes, but what the okay? Oh, Bible near power. I've read my Bible cover to cover, cover to cover. Check. And sometimes when you take your time to meditate, you will learn the Greek. I mean, that's why words like anakazo, biazo, anadeia, and what? Sozo, zoe, agape. All those words, Greek words and Hebrew words, they are all loaded with meaning, which the English cannot give you in its translation. So it is when you are doing meditation that all those things come alive to you. And revelations come from the word, and then you become a very solid believer who is working in this life as a success and a prosperous person. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Yes. Bible no. And when you cry, Anna, you're the talker. But the Bible says the borrower is a servant to the lender. Immediately, if that you meditate on it, you'll be thinking, borrower is to the lender, is a servant to the lender. What does that mean? It means when you borrow from someone and you are working, you are his servant. I don't want to be the servant of this guy. I want to be on my own. I want to serve God. I want to work. Immediately, your borrowing antennas go down. And then you tell yourself that I'm going to manage slowly. Maybe slow, but slow but sure, I'll occupy what I have to occupy. When I own a car, it's mine. When I own a house, it's mine. When I own a TV, nobody can come for my TV. And when those who have borrowed, who are why slow, they are coming for the house because you have not finished paying. They are coming for the car. They are coming for this. They are coming for that. God will deliver you. It's your season of enlargement. And through meditation, you will walk into your season. In Jesus' name. So everybody here, I'm charging you this week. Take your Bible seriously. Let's go back to the Bible. I don't know whether it's something called back to the Bible. We go back to the Bible. Let's go back. Read your Bible every day. Don't read. Look, from this weekend, don't read even passages. Just read one verse B and think about it. Even some of the verses I've written, I've said here, you can take some of these verses and just think about them and what do they mean? And what instruction is God giving you from them? And you'll be surprised what changes will come into your life and the road to prosperity that you walk on in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord bless you. The Lord help you. The Lord lift your foot from step to step into your season of enlargement. And may you find yourself in a place where your testimony will be greater than you have ever shared it. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you clapping for the Lord for this awesome life-changing word? Life-changing. Life-changing. I'm going to meditate on the word. Yeah. That's why you bring notes, notebook, and write notes when you are in the church. Yes. And even though I'm preaching from Enlargement Secrets. It's a book. Enlargement Secrets. But honestly, even if I give you the book, you may think that I'm not preaching from the book, so I don't have to bore you. Yeah. You are blessed. You will live long. You will prosper. Lift your hands unto the Lord. Father, bless your people. Bless them, bless them, bless them. And give them victory. From victory to victory. Victory to victory. Think for a moment on what you are hearing. What are you going to do about what you are hearing? How are you going to practically implement what you are hearing? Oh yes. Take a moment to think through it. Tell God, Lord, this is my week of back to the Bible. Yes. And back to a book you have led me to. A book you gave to me to read. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. A life-changing book like The Final Quest, written by Rejoiner. Oh, what a blessing it has been in my life. Oh, yes. Lorata sikabahaya kazuria reko sande ikaya kabase toli nizaya. Away with ignorance, away with poverty, away with failure, away with discouragement and depression. Father, let your people take steps into higher grounds. Ayuno labia kafile kesula jata kikele kesuati mala barade. Blessed be God. Father, we thank you for all that you have led us into. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you are here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Maybe somebody invited you. Or this is just your first time. But you want to take God seriously. You want to be a serious Christian. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, please lift up your right hand so I can pray with you. Lift up just your right hand so I can pray with you. Anybody here like that? Pastor, pray for me. I want to be a serious Christian. I want to give my life to Jesus. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else here? Lift up your hand. Lift it up high. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. If you have lifted your hand, do one more thing. Come to me right in front here so I can pray for you.
Into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come into today, come into to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Lift up your hand, let's pray together. Say after me, Heavenly Father, have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins. And come into my heart. Make me a new person. From today, I will serve you, follow you for the rest of my days. Satan, I belong to Jesus from now. Me and you is finished. Thank you, Father,
In Jesus' name. Amen. It's time for communion now. Take out the bread. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Oh yes. Oh yes. Think deeply about the communion. That's why God said, anybody who eats this bread, the body, and drinks the blood, you have eternal life. And those who don't eat it worthily, he says that some of them are sick, some of them are dead, and others are weak. Because you have to discern, think deeply about this body that we are eating. This is the body of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this body in Jesus' name. Amen.
The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break.
This is the blood
is
of Jesus.
Of the body of
may it wash away all your sins. This is the blood that washes you and gives you access into the presence of God. As you partake of it, there is life. Enter your life. Every weakness go away. Every sickness go away. Every death and dying symptoms go away. May your organ function in the perfection to which he created them. Be healed. Be delivered. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus. Be blessed. The Lord deliver you from accidents on the way. The Lord deliver you from armed robbers on the way. The Lord deliver you from the spirit of poverty that has traveled into your life. And the armed robber that has traveled into your life to plunder your goods. The Lord deliver you from the spirit of poverty and usher you into your season of enlargement. Walk into that season. Stay in that season. And may the Lord continue to advance you like he advanced Moses and Aaron. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We have no doubt that you have received a blessing from the Word of God preached by Bishop Eddie Addy. Do join either of our Victory Secret Services
from the Macarius Church Headquarters,
East Egon Hills, Accra, this and every Sunday at 7:30 and 10:30 a.m. Connect with Bishop Eddie Addy on Facebook Live, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you and lead you in a series of victories.